Hare Krishna. Apologies that our podcast didn't make it yesterday. I recorded a bhajan in the temple room only to discover that all the memory in this little recorder was full up, so neither the recording worked, and it took a while to reprogram the recorder. So I never ended up sending the podcast, but I'm doing two this morning. I'm doing one right now, answering a question from Jagannath Sutta: when does Bhoga really become Prasadam? And that's what this whole podcast will be about, Prasadam. And the other podcast will be the Bhagavatam class I give this morning in Hungarian. So unless you're bilingual, you won't be able to understand it. But it is for the Hungarian devotees, particularly here in Hungary, but those also who are abroad who complain that they never hear anything and in Hungarian, and many of them don't understand what I'm saying in English either. Okay, so here it goes. When does Bhoga actually become Prasadam? Actually, this is a wonderful question, because the whole concept of something changing from being material to spiritual is really extraordinary. I remember as a bhakta in Montreal and doing advertising for an outside program, and I can't remember the exact details, but the advertisement and the leaflet more or less said, see matter transformed into spirit before your very eyes. And it was a far out title, and it drew a lot of people. If I remember right, it was a university class given on campus in McGill, and it was a presentation by the temple president, and he led up to the whole thing. Okay, now it's going to happen, and you're going to see spirit manifest before your very eyes. And the students were really sitting on the edge of their seats, and then we brought in a plate of prasadam, which was going to be the feast that we were offering. And this plate was put in front of a picture of Panchatattva. And then we bowed down and rang the bell and stood up and declared that here it is. We just brought in ordinary food, and now it's transformed into spiritual substance. And before anyone could challenge and say, and the proof will be, is that you eat it now and you see the effect that it has. So as Krishna says, pratyaksha vagamam dharmam, the proof is certainly in this case in the tasting, and we know that eating Krishna's prasadam has extraordinary potency and is certainly very different than eating the same type of food which isn't offered to the Lord, isn't cooked with love and devotion. But anyway, let's get back to the original question. When does Bhoga become prasadam? It becomes prasadam when it's offered to the Lord. And offering is one thing, and of course the for an offering to be successful, it must be accepted. So when Krishna accepts what you offer to him, that becomes prasadam. And in the Gita he says, prasade sarva dukkhanam, and that prasadam, it destroys all dukkha, all misery. Therefore, we feel very elated, very auspicious, in the words of Rupa Goswami, by the eradication of our past sinful activities. And what is it that is really being accepted? Is it the foodstuff itself? And Krishna says, patram pushpam panam tujam yumi bhaktya priyachati. He said that actually I accept the bhakti. You may offer the leaf, the flower, the fruit, the milk, the ghee cook preparations, but the devotion is what carries those preparations to Krishna, and that's what makes him inclined to accept it. And we know from Ishopanishad that although Krishna is very far away, he's very close. So wherever we are, and we offer something to Krishna, devotion brings Krishna right there. But we should recognize that all offerings are not on the same level. It depends upon the nature of the devotee. And I suggest that although there are many different ways of categorizing devotees, in this case we could consider three different types of devotees and three different types of offerings. There's the motivated offering, there's the pure offering, and there's the love-saturated offering. Motivated offering is when people offer something to Krishna with the idea that they will become materially benefited, that they will become free, liberated from their suffering. We see this all the time. People bring fruits and flowers and many things to the temple with the idea that if I give this to Krishna, then I'll be prosperous, I'll be healthy, my children will find suitable spouses, and so on. Or someone else is coming to become free from some kind of suffering, to recover from some illness. This is offering something with motivation. And even that motivated offering can be done in two ways. If it's done through the Guru Parampara, then Krishna will accept it through a pure Guru Parampara, because devotees, pure devotees, are very merciful. And in order to elevate motivated devotees, they beseech Krishna to accept the meager offering of materialistic devotees. And that purity of the pure devotee, that then becomes the offering. In other words, it really transforms the impure offering to a pure offering via the media of the Guru Parampara. However, if a motivated person just makes an offering whimsically, not through a Guru Parampara, then more or less you can expect that that offering does not become prasadam. It remains boga. Do such offerings have some value? Well, yes. They have value in the sense that the person is thinking, at least, that I'm offering this to Krishna. And anyway, akama, sarvakama, mukshakama, any way that a person thinks about Krishna is beneficial. They become gradually purified. But unless Krishna exercises some extraordinary mercy on that individual, their foodstuffs is not accepted by the Lord. Krishna will not accept something. Yasya apasara nagati kutopi. He won't accept something unless it comes through the Guru Parampara. So then it's not prasadam, but it's boga. An interesting question often comes up. We have new devotees, congregation members who are not initiated, and they make offerings. Are their offerings prasadam or are they boga? And in this case, we should consider the potency of the disciplic succession. In other words, the disciplic succession is not restricted solely to initiation. If someone receives an instruction from an authorized Vaishnava preacher that you should offer your foodstuffs, then on the basis of that, Krishna will accept that offering. He won't reject the sincere approach of the person, because the person is in effect accepting the Guru Parampara, albeit he's not yet gone through the process of diksha. The second type of offering is the pure offering. That is when a devotee offers something to Krishna in order to please him. devotee doesn't have motivation, but he really wants to bring pleasure to the Lord, and therefore at home he offers to his picture, to his deity, to his Shalagram Shila, or in the temple, pure-hearted pujaris are trying to please Gornitai Radha Krishna. But even here, there are two types of pure offerings. One is that which is regulated, and the other one which is spontaneous. Regulated offering is when devotees, out of duty, are performing an offering to Krishna, following all the rules and regulations, and doing everything just right. And the other is when devotees are also doing everything just right, but they actually doing it out of a spontaneous attachment for the Lord. They already have a certain degree of affection. And it's not the obligation of doing things as I've been instructed by Guru and Shastra, which is the dominant motivation, but by doing things according to Guru and Shastra, devotees have awakened their natural attraction to Krishna, and they're spontaneously doing it because they have affection. This affection is a little different than mature love, spiritual love, but it's there anyway. And of course, both these pure offerings have to be made through the Guru Parampara. And the prasadam is also different in the sense that when you offer something to Krishna out of duty, Krishna also accepts it from you out of duty. He also feels himself duty-bound. Even in the Gita, Krishna says, well, if I didn't follow the rules and regulations, then other people would be misled. In other words, Krishna is acting out of duty. But when we offer something to Krishna with affection, then Krishna considers that of all the devotees who surrender to him, the one who is the person who's offering things to him with affection is most dear to him, Priya, Krishna says. And similarly, Krishna reciprocates in loving affection with that person as well. So then, naturally the question comes up, that are there different types of prasadam? And the answer then is yes. Krishna says, jyaditaman papadyante tamstatai papajamiyaham, that according to how you surrender, then I reward them accordingly. So according to the quality and the quantity of devotion by which one makes an offering to Krishna, that offering becomes proportionately prasadam in a qualitative and quantitative way. And also interesting that devotees' ability to taste prasadam will also be in proportion to their ability, to their devotion, to their ability to offer prasadam. In other words, devotees will get benefit or taste the spiritual nature of prasadam in the same degree that they're manifesting devotion in offering that prasadam up. So what is it that's different? And what is it that happens? How is it that prasadam becomes spiritual? Well, we see that the foodstuff visually remains the same. But what actually happens is that Krishna reciprocates with the devotion of the devotee by manifesting his Swarup Shakti, or his Daivi Prakriti, his internal spiritual potency, to the degree that the devotee allows. By allows, I mean to the degree that the devotee wants, which is to the degree that he manifests a quality and quantity of devotional service. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri and he tasted Jagannath Prasad, he just became overwhelmed with the ecstatic taste of the prasadam, and he shared it with his associates and glorified it, and he could directly taste the saliva of Krishna's lotus lips mixed in with the foodstuffs. From there on, he went to glorify the effect and the touch of Krishna's lips. This is what happens when someone in loving devotion tastes foodstuff that has been offered up to the Lord. And in this case, no doubt, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ability to taste the potency of the prasadam is in excess of the Brahmins who may have offered it to Lord Jagannath. But still, that prasadam is Krishna's internal potency, it's not different than Krishna, and it's a dynamic thing. And because here a loving devotee has tasted the prasadam, then he may taste more of the spiritual potency present in that prasadam that was originally manifest to the pujari who offered it. I should just briefly go back to the third type of offering, which is that which is done by with pure love. When devotees come to the stage of loving devotion, then Krishna directly accepts offerings from their hands, and he reciprocates with them in kind. So loving devotion is the devotion which is exhibited by Krishna's liberated associates, his eternal associates in the spiritual world, where he's directly engaged in tasting all the different types of love and loving offerings that his devotees offer. We may also consider the example of Prahlad Maharaj and Mirabai as well. Both of them were given poison to drink. Because of their great loving devotion, that poison was just transformed into nectar and had no effect on them. Why is that? Because poison and nutritious food, these are all parts of the relativities of this material world. But when you offer something up with love to Krishna, and it becomes Krishna's Satchit Ananda, his spiritual potency manifests in that food, that's all transcendental, it's all good. Therefore, poison becomes as much prasadam as a pakora becomes prasadam. We should, however, not think that an offering or prasadam is simply the bhoga or the foodstuffs that we offer to Krishna. Devotees make their entire life an offering. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat shtihoshi, tadati yat. So whatever you do, ultimately every breath that a devotee takes is an offering. And when devotees then live like that, when they sleep because they need to maintain their bodies for Krishna's service, therefore that sleep becomes offering to the Lord. They're eating foodstuffs in order to maintain their body because by that they can remain healthy to serve Krishna. When they receive some food, soap, money, all of these things are offered to Krishna. In New Brajadam, anything that the Brajabasis acquire, receive, they first bring and offer to Radha Shamasundar on a tray that's there in the deity's room just before the altar. So we should learn how to offer everything. We rise early in the morning, and the first thing we do is we offer prayers to the Lord. We chant Hare Krishna, not as a form of entertainment, but as an offering to glorify Krishna. And when someone lives like that, then the act of making the offering becomes, in one sense, even unnecessary, although devotees do it in order to set examples for others, because such devotees are always absorbed in doing everything for Krishna, and therefore jyome bhakti apriyachati, therefore the bhakti is already there, and Krishna is already very eager to offer that. In fact, Krishna follows behind devotees in order to accept their loving devotion in every moment, in every movement, every moment of the day, in every movement of their bodies, in every thought that they manifest in relationship to their devotional service to Krishna. So ultimately, this is what we're meant to aspire for, to come for, and this is what the loving devotees do. They live for Krishna, and thus everything they do becomes Krishna conscious and becomes prasadam. The cowherd boys, they simply sit down with Krishna. They don't make any offering to Krishna. They just sit down and eat from their lunch packs. But when they do offer, sometimes they may take from their lunch packs and stick it right in Krishna's mouth. Or they may even bite off half a sweet ball and say, "Oh Krishna, just see how wonderful this sweet ball tastes," and stick that into his mouth. You owe me bhaktya. It's just the love. The formalities, the technicality of offering, those are no longer relevant, because what Krishna really wants is the love and devotion, and because that's there, then that's all that actually interests him. And whether Mother Yashoda offers her breast milk, the gopis offer their body, the cowherd boys wrestle and jump on his shoulders, everything becomes prasadam, because everything is an offering. And our business in Krishna consciousness, therefore, is to live in this world of prasadam, and that we become prasadam ourselves. This is what Krishna concludes with in the Gita when he says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmano Bhutam. If we're thinking about offering everything to Krishna, if our physical acts are an offering to Krishna, if our words are an offering to Krishna, then ultimately we become an offering to Krishna, then we become prasadam. And thus Krishna is always very eager to always taste the wonderful mellows of our loving offerings to him. Hare Krishna.